that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. For this same purpose, God said to Pharaoh, have I raised thee up, that I might make my power known through you and in you. And verse 10 said, and Moses and Aaron did all these wonders. You know about the plagues that God sent upon Egypt. But every time God would send a plague, verse 10 says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. Back in verse 1 of chapter 11, the Lord said to Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh. This is the last one. One more plague. And after that, he'll let you go. He'll let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. In verse 4, he tells us about this terrible, terrible plague. Verse 4, Moses is telling the people of Israel what God would do. And Moses said in verse 4, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. The Lord said, I will. About midnight, I will. I don't know of any mention of any kind of death angel ever in any of the scripture, but I read it again this morning, someone talking about that angel. Perhaps the Lord will use an angel. I don't know, but the Lord who does it. He said, I'll go out. In verse 5, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. All of them. This is a sweeping loss. A terrible loss. The firstborn. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, highest ranking king, lord, ruler of Egypt, that sitteth on his throne, even the firstborn of the lowly maidservant that scrubs the floor. The firstborn in every home in Egypt. Even the firstborn of the beast. What a sweeping loss from the throne to the maidservant to the beast. And what a severe loss, the firstborn. Now we need to take a moment and consider the firstborn. It's not true today like it has been in the past. It's not true in this country like it still is in many countries. But the firstborn is the heir. The firstborn son is always the heir, was then the leader of the family. That's the reason that Isaac was so upset when Jacob deceived him, because Esau was the firstborn. He was supposed to have the birthright. He's the heir, the leader of the family. The firstborn is the elder brother. All the other children look up to the firstborn. The firstborn steps in and takes over when the father is incapacitated or dies. The firstborn is the glory of the family. And then the firstborn is the support back then. Now, older people have Social Security and all other benefits, but not then. The firstborn was the support of the parents. It was his responsibility to take care of his parents and also of the servants, the faithful servants in a home. He was his responsibility, and God's going to kill every one of them. Every firstborn is going to destroy the firstborn. And that will destroy the order of the family. The rule, the chain of command. destroy the leadership in every home, destroy the peace and tranquility of the family, chaos. That's the reason verse 6 is so powerful here. It says, and there shall be a great crime. When I passed through at midnight and killed the firstborn of every single family in Egypt, from the throne to the maid at the mill, and there are great shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it ever before, nor shall be like it anymore. Never. Never. A great cry. But verse 7, God put a difference between Israel and Egypt, the Egyptians, the Israelites and the Egyptians. God put a difference. Like, what a difference it was. Verse 7 said, but against any of the children of Israel shall not even a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast. That you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptian and the Israelites. Egyptian and Israel. What a difference. We are Israel. What he says here about national Israel, he says about spiritual Israel. Our firstborn lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn. Scripture says he's the firstborn among many brethren. He's our elder brother. He's the heir. He's the king. He's the leader. He's the commander. He's the captain. Always has been, always will be. He is the image of God. He's the firstborn of every creature. Paul wrote in Colossians. He's the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead. We are members of the church of the firstborn. Our firstborn lives. In our home, there's peace and tranquility and order. And our support is assured. And our provision is in his hands. We have peace, not chaos. We have order, tranquility, and rule, because our firstborn lives. And here in chapter 12, he tells us what he did to make the difference. It's the word substitution. Substitution. Their firstborn died. Our firstborn took our place, and we live. That's the word, substitution. That's the message. That's the hope. I will go out, and all the firstborn shall die. But his firstborn died, and God brought him forth from the grave. He lives. He ever lives. And let's look at chapter 12. So he told the children of Israel that they were to do a certain thing here called the Passover. A certain thing here now to keep from the firstborn, their firstborn, dying in every home. Substitution. Lamb's going to take the place of their firstborn. And that lamb is God's firstborn. So he says in verse 1, now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, spake to them, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It'll be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month, you take every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now you select the lamb. There's going to be a substitution take place here. I'm going to pass through Egypt at midnight. I'm going to kill the firstborn in every home. Now to save you, that judgment and that terrible wrath of God, you select the lamb. Select the lamb. And he chose our lamb. Spiritual Israel. National Israel. They selected a lamb. They picked it out. But God chose our lamb. He chose our lamb. In Genesis, don't turn to this, Genesis 4:4, he pictured that lamb when Abel brought a lamb and sacrificed it as a sin offering to God. And in Genesis 22:8, he spoke through Abraham, and Abraham prophesied that the lamb would come. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. You don't pick one out. Israel did. They picked out the lamb. They selected. That's what he said there, didn't he? He told them to, every man, according to the house, pick out a lamb. You pick him out. But God picked our lamb out. He chose him. He pictured him. He prophesied that he would provide himself the lamb. And then he revealed the lamb in Isaiah 53 to be a man. He said he'd grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He'd be wounded for our transgression, bruised by iniquities. He'd be led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. Be a man. And then he identified him in John 1:29. John said, there he is, behold the Lamb of God, Jesus of Nazareth. Then in Revelation chapter 5, he glorified the Lamb in the midst of the throne, glorified. And here he typifies the Lamb. But just like Israel, down there in Egypt, when God comes through that horrible judgment, and destroys the firstborn, we need a substitute. They needed a substitute. There was death in every home, Israel, Israelites, as well as Egyptian. But in the Egyptian home, the firstborn died. In the Israelite home, the lamb died. And for us, the lamb died. God chose that lamb. And here he typifies the lamb. Shows us how we are delivered from wrath and judgment and condemnation. And he said, verse 4, if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall you make your count for the lamb. And your lamb that you pick out shall be without blemish. And the lamb God picked out for us is the only person without blemish, without sin. There is no other. There is no choice. Christ is the only one without sin. He had no sin, knew no sin. Which of you, he said, convinceth me of sin? Only one without sin, without blemish. And it's to be a male of the first year, a male in the prime. When you pick out your lamb, you choose one without blemish or spot or disease. And choose one of the first year, a male in the prime. Not an old lamb ready to die or a sick lamb or a crippled lamb, but in strength, who gives his life. And you take it from among the sheep, right out from among the rest of them. Go out there among the sheep, like our Lord Jesus Christ. Moses said, God will raise up a prophet from among the brethren, like me, from among you, from the midst of you. And these people, they saw Jesus of Nazareth. They said, there's no beauty about him that we should desire him. He's just like all the other carpenters. We know him. He's a carpenter. He's a wine bibber. He's a gluttonous man. Well, he said to him, you're not 50 years old. What are you talking about? You knew Abraham. You're not 50 years old. How could you be no Abraham? Just a man. No beauty about him. Take him from among the sheep or the goats. He was born of a woman. There was no halo about his head and no glow from his face. He was a man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Your lamb, God picked him out. Your lamb, your substitute. Substitute for you is my lamb. And in verse 6 it says, you keep him up until the 14th day. That'd be 4 days, wouldn't it? 4 days.
You keep him up and observe him. That's what they're doing here, is keeping him up to prove the lamb. Be sure there's no fault found with him or no disease found on him. But you keep him up till the 14th day of the month. Our Lord walked on this earth. Each day is about 10 years. He walked this earth about 33 years, 34 years. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet proved to be without sin. He was tempted more than we were. He was tempted by Satan himself. The devil himself came to him. Tried. He was tried by men, tried by religious leaders, tried by Satan, tried in every way, yet without sin. Proved to be perfect. Our Lamb is perfect. And he says in verse 6, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. Not one man. One man is not going to go around killing these lambs. Not a one-man deal. It's the verdict of all. It's the agreement of all. It's the responsibility of the whole nation. It's the agreement of everyone. This lamb is my substitute, your substitute, everybody here. Nobody goes aside and says, I'm not having any part in this. Yes, you are. Got to. The whole congregation will kill him. It pleased God to bruise him, and it pleased me. I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to die. The whole congregation shall kill it in the evening. Two or three words said about that in the evening of this world, the last days, or between the evenings. But kill the lamb. It pleased God to bruise him. It pleased all believers. We agree on this. The lamb's to die. This is God's word. This is God's way. This is God's will. The lamb is to die. We seek no other way. But now Moses in there better. We seek no other way. The whole congregation in total agreement. The lamb is our substitute. Now then. And you shall take of the blood. When you've slain the lamb, take the blood. And strike it on the two side posts of your house, every house. Take hyssop, dip that hyssop in the blood, put it on the side post and on the lintel. Put that blood on the upper door post of the houses wherein thou shalt eat it. Now, putting the blood on the door wasn't necessary to direct the Lord to where they were. In other words, somebody might get the idea of the Lord passes through He said, there's one with blood on it, and there's one not. Now, he knew where there wasn't any blood and where there was blood. So he didn't need that blood to direct him to the house. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And I'll tell you this, it wasn't that blood of that lamb, that animal blood, that held back the wrath and judgment of God. But it was the blood of Christ. It's put there by the faith of those people. They believed God. They believed God. They slew the lamb. They took his blood and put it on the doorpost. And that's the very thing that we do. We believe God, that his judgment and wrath is against sin. Appointed unto me and once to die, and after that the judgment. God said, I will pass through, and my wrath and my judgment shall fall, but where I see the blood. Whose blood? That animal blood? No, sir. Where I see the blood, does God have to look for it? No, sir. Where I see the blood is his divine elect people who believe him and look to Christ. And like those Israelites, they believed God's warning. They took the lamb and slew it. They put the blood on the door. That was an act of faith. They went in the house and sat down. And God passed through. But that which held back the wrath of God was the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ our Lord. Chapter 12 says this, verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in the night. when you kill the lamb, roast it with fire. That shows how our Lord died. Hanging on that cross, he cried, "I thirst," or the burning fever and heat of his wounds were open. Hanging under the judgment of God, the wrath of God, "I thirst." And when they roasted that lamb in the fire, it was picturing his sufferings on that cross. Burning agony. He said, "All ye pass by, it is any sorrow like my sorrow? Behold, is any sorrow like my sorrow with which the Lord hath afflicted me?" Look and see. Roast it. And when they kill that lamb and caught its blood, put it on the door, and then they roasted it with fire. And showed the how our Lord suffered. And they ate it. Ate it. Took the lamb within. That picture is receiving Christ. It's not just believing a doctrine or believing some words. It's actually receiving him. To eat his flesh and drink his blood. And he says, don't eat it with unleavened bread. No leaven. Leaven is hypocrisy. Eat it in sincerity. Insincerity with unleavened bread and eat it with bitter herbs. That's repentance. Unleavened bread, which is sincerity. No pretense. Sincerity. And eat it with the bitter herbs, which indicates true repentance. Sorrow over sin. A deep sense of sorrow and grief. Over sin toward God. Eat it with bitter herbs. Don't eat it raw. Don't eat it raw. What does that mean? Christ must suffer. He must be roasted. He can't save us without suffering. He suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. It has to be roasted. And not sodden at all with water. When you eat this lamb, don't mix it with gravy. Mix it with gravy, water. Don't make any additions. Nothing but the lamb himself. It's not Christ and baptism or Christ and my works in Christ and something else. It's just Christ. That's all. Just Christ. Not mixed with anything. But roast with fire. And all his head, his legs, with the pertness thereof, all of it. And you don't let anything remain to the morning. When the lamb, this lamb, is chosen, without spot or blemish, kept up, observed, it's a lamb without blemish or spot. It's the right one. So it's slain, blood shed, put on the door, roasted with fire. Don't leave any. It's the whole Christ. It's Christ our prophet. Christ our priest, Christ our king. A person can't have him as Savior and not have him as Lord. It's Christ my hope, Christ my help, Christ my life, Christ my all, and all of Christ as he is. We can't divide him up. We can't separate his sovereignty from his love. Can't separate his love from his justice. Can't separate his justice from his righteousness. We can't have a Christ that we design ourselves and say, "Well, I don't particularly like this part. I like this part. I like this. I like what the Lord says over here. I don't like what he says over here." The whole Christ. Don't leave anything to the morning. If you can't consume all of it, burn it with fire. But don't let anything remain. It's the whole Christ that redeems. The whole Christ. And what's this? And eat it with your loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. You're leaving this place. Eat it dressed and ready to move out. In other words, this is the end of your sojourn here in Egypt. Egypt's not your home anymore. Pharaoh's not your king anymore. Egypt and its people are not your companions anymore. You've been redeemed. The Lamb has died. God's Lamb has delivered you. God's judgment's on Egypt. I'm coming through tonight. I'm going to disrupt every home, every life, every person. I'm going to take away the leadership, the provision, the elder brother, the influence. I'm going to corrupt them and twist them and turn them, and chaos will reign and rule, but not you. You get your clothes on, shoes on your feet. You leave in that place. When Christ was crucified, I died to the world, and the world died to me. That's right. We've been translated. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. Egypt's not your home anymore. You eat this. When you take this, you do it with your loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Lord's Passover. We're in a new kingdom. New commander-in-chief. New direction. We're leaving here. And we're going to His kingdom, His land. Verse 12. And what's here's our assurance. He said, I will. Our assurance is not based on our wills, it's based on His will. His will, not our will. I read this and then I turned over and read in Isaiah Satan's statements. I will be like God. I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will, I will. The Lord said, you'll be cast down into hell. Now, here's the will that gives us assurance, and here's the will that gives us hope. It's not our will, it's His will. He said, listen, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will. And I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. I sure will. I will. Both man and beast against all the leaders of Egypt. Watch, fourth thing. I will execute judgment. The Lord will not clear the guilty. He will punish sin. I will pass through Egypt. I will smite the firstborn. I will execute judgment. But there's a difference. They don't have a lamb. They don't have a substitute. They're sinners just like we are, but we have a substitute. God's put a difference between us and them. What is the difference? We have a substitute. We have someone to take that judgment, and take that wrath, and take that suffering for us. In verse 13, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be to you for token upon the houses where you are. This blood is a token of His blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, that's a whole lot better, isn't it? I will pass through Egypt. I will smite the firstborn. I will execute wrath. But when I see the blood, and you know and I know it's not that animal blood. It's the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's not when I see it. It's when He sees it. He said, when I see the blood, when I see Christ as your offering, your sin offering, your substitute, I will pass over you. That's where it gets the name Passover. You observe this Passover. Somebody asks you what you're doing. It's the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. We were in bondage and sin and slavery, and His judgment and wrath was upon this world, and He came through Egypt and destroyed every home. But He passed over us because we had a lamb, a substitute, took our place. Passed over. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 5. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe it's verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He's our Passover. And when he met with his disciples there in Luke 22, where I read a few moments ago, it was to eat this Passover, which they kept every year, every single year. And our Lord, the Lamb, met with his disciples for that last Passover when they gathered together. And it was on the very time when the Passover was to be slain. And he took the bread, and he broke it, and gave thanks. He gave it to them. He said, now, this is my body, broken for you. Eat it, like they ate the lamb. Eat it. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm your lamb. And then he took the wine, and he blessed it. And he handed it to them and said, drink it. This is my blood shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. No more lamb to be slain and burned and eaten. That Passover's gone. Here's the substitute. And all of that was just typical of him. That's a picture of him. Moses wasn't saved by that blood on his door out there. He was saved by the blood of Christ. But he put that blood on the door because he believed Christ. And we take this, and I'm doing the same thing they did back then. They were looking to the Christ. They were remembering the Christ who will come. I'm remembering the Christ who did come. They were remembering the Lamb who will come. I'm remembering the Lamb who did come and die. Substitution. Took my place in my stead for my sake. And I take that bread, and I eat it. Picture of receiving Christ. And that wine, I drink it. Receiving Christ. That's salvation. Substitution. All right, let's...